This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
It's the Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Larry Kudlow. Great pleasure to be with you. You see, radio host of More Money that plays on many of these very same stations right after this show. Kids, welcome back. So, Liz Peek, you're going to have your wish now that we've declared Joe Biden to be not only illegal but incompetent. It's time for Michelle Obama through the 25th Amendment. Yeah, it's going to happen in our lifetime.
I wrote about this a long time ago.
Yes, you did.
Because it works, Larry. It works for the Democrats in this way. If Joe Biden at the convention is forced to step aside, or if Democrats just decide they don't want to nominate him as their candidate, the only person who comes to this race fully loaded is Michelle Obama. And by fully loaded, I mean she's the world's most popular woman in America, and she can draw on the incredible fundraising apparatus of the Democratic Party and the Obama machine to fund a very quick campaign. And the quick campaign is important because she won't be out there very long. People won't get a chance to really know her, to really understand that they might not like her politics. They might not like her resentment about being allowed to go to Princeton University, et cetera. So I think the whole thing kind of works. We'll see.
By the way,
can I say one other thing?
Of course.
Betting odds as of today have President Trump at around 52%. Obama's way behind, 25-30. Michelle Obama's next at 15. Kind of interesting.
Steve Moore, let me guess. If Michelle Obama runs, who will her top policy advisor be? Let me just guess.
Oh, I'd say Kamala Harris.
I'd say Barack Obama.
Sure.
Think about that. Here we go again. I thought we left this story a while back, but it's coming back.
Fourth term, right? Because Biden's third term was his third term. I agree with a lot of what Liz was saying. I too have been suggesting for the last 18 months that I just didn't see how Biden could possibly run again. And after what happened on Thursday, both in terms of the report that came out from the prosecutor and his press conference, I think it's elder abuse to put him out there like that. I really do. And I'm not trying to be snide. In fact, I, as a Trump guy, I want to run against Joe Biden, but and Liz is also right that, before this all happened, a week and a half ago, Biden was 80% probability to be the Democratic nominee on the betting lines. And now he's closing in on 50-50. And I bet that number continues to dwindle. Who they go with, I don't know. I mean, I have some Democrat sources who just say Michelle Obama doesn't want it. It's hard to persuade somebody to run for president if they don't want to be president. But I would say this, that the other question that we've talked about on this show, Larry, is how do you get Kamala Harris out of the way? Because she's the only person who's probably less qualified to be President Joe Biden at this point.
Well, I think that, I know the Michelle Obama thing is out there, and kudos to Liz for writing about it a while back. But I think there's a fist fight if Joe Biden, some way, shape, or form, is gone. Kamala's going to fight hard for it. Gretchen Whitmer's going to fight hard for it. Gavin Newsom's going to fight hard for it, and other people. I don't think it'll be so easy. In other words, I don't see Michelle Obama being crowned in some sense. I think it's going to be a real fistfight.
So I'm going to just throw one other name in the hunt, just to be mischievous. Hillary.
Oh God,
bring her back.
Not a chance.
I couldn't take that.
Not a chance. And, she's so disliked.
And her running mate, her running mate would be James Comey. But
I don't see that happening. And I, Larry, no, to answer your question or to raise one more possibility,
yeah.
If Michelle Obama says, okay, I'll do it because it's an emergency for our party, but yeah. only 4 years, then I think, you know, the Gavin Newsom, Gretchen Whitmer thing kind of gets resolved, right? Because they're probably they're better off 4 years from now than they are. This would be such a food fight. So many people would hate whoever takes this role.
Mm.
And of course, we're fans, you know, we're fantasizing here because right now, Joe Biden is determined he's going to be the guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazingly.
Fresh off his temper tantrum Thursday night. That was the most catastrophic news conference I've ever seen. Honestly. I mean, I don't know about the 25th Amendment, who's going to start that, but I just watched him. I mean, I think they're stuck with him. I'm very skeptical that he's going to be replaced. I know it's fun to speculate, but I think they're just stuck with the guy. And I'm perfectly happy to be stuck with him.
Yeah, me too.
You know, just perfectly happy because he's going to get whooped. All these people we
by
mentioned.
By the way, just one other quick thing. The amazing thing is that, you know, as Liz just mentioned, right now, the most likely person to be the next president is Donald J. Trump.
Yes.
And that's really
right.
An amazing thing when you think about
yes.
it. We're, you know, over the last 2 years.
3 years.
You know, and
3 years.
Yeah, really. It's just been a, you know, most people would not have thought Trump could make this incredible
comeback. This is one
of
the greatest political comebacks ever.
It is. I like it.
You know, I mean,
he's good. You know, the good Trump is with us, and he's been good now for, you know, the last year. His speeches are fantastic. He's optimistic. I don't know if it's you, Larry, that's, you know, he's pro-America. He's not.
There's a lot of us helping. But the point, even if you don't like Trump, you look at it objectively from
exactly.
where he was in early 2021 mm-hmm. to now. It's
yes.
an amazing comeback. Now, the outcome remains to be seen. I understand that. I'm just looking at it empirically. But yes, it's quite a remarkable comeback. I mean, we'll see. It's going to be great fun. Give us all lots to gab about, which is actually what
Amen.
We all do for a living.
Is there any way? Is there any way? You guys are the lawyers on this team.
I mean, I'm not the lawyer. I've never even looked at a law school. Are you kidding? The lawyers.
I have a serious question. I know this is your show, but how in the world could Trump possibly be found guilty?
Right.
On these
yeah.
files
yeah.
after what's happened, where basically
yeah.
the prosecutor said he was guilty, but we just don't think a jury would find him guilty. It would be the greatest miscarriage of justice if now they came after Trump and convicted him of that.
Well, it's important to note here, this has come up a couple of times in this show,
yeah.
yesterday's TV show. Biden broke the law.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a Presidential Records
yep.
Act.
Yep.
Which
yep.
he's been breaking since he was a senator.
And willfully.
Willfully. And it was before he went, you know, loony or whatever he is.
Yeah.
And in her report, by the way, in 2017, he knew he had classified documents hidden in his garage. So, see, Trump, under the Presidential Records Act, did not break the law. They're trying to pin an espionage hit on Trump,
mm-hmm.
which they will never mm-hmm. prove, in my opinion. But whatever. That can be debated. But Biden broke the law. Look, I want to just branch off just a little bit. One thing, we are money in politics. I had Senator Rand Paul on the TV show last night, made a very strong case, Liz, with respect to the Ukraine money. Now, we've given up on the border control money. Now, Joe Biden is a lame duck. You probably not get anything through. But, you know, they're going to give $60 billion some odd to Ukraine, all right? No inspector general, no financial controls
right.
whatsoever.
Yeah.
And Rand Paul is now devoting him. I mean, he lashed out at Mitch McConnell and other Republicans last. He was very blunt. I think quite a lot of Rand Paul. The fact is, why are we going to put this money up when we don't necessarily know where it's going? And why would we put it into an omnibus spending bill without any control? We won't have any controls on any of the money they want to spend. This is so typical of what Congress does wrong.
Yeah, and I think people really are going to be angry about this because there have been reports of money gone astray. That goes back over a year now. And, you know, there have been delegations sent over to investigate, and they don't really, and they find, yes, that there's corruption. This is, I forget what the ranking was. What is it? Then the top 10 corrupt countries in the world before this war began. And so when you start throwing around tens of billions of dollars, I think our total now is over $100 billion we've sent to Ukraine. Are they kidding? Do they not imagine that we need people on the ground investigating where this money's gone? Because, Larry, we already know a lot of it's gone missing. Mm-hmm. And so that's just fueling resistance to supporting Ukraine in any meaningful way. And I really think this is a tremendous mistake on the part of people pushing for this spending not to encourage oversight, encourage really strict controls. It's a little bit like sending billions into Gaza and pretending it's not going to end up in the hands of Hamas. Mm-hmm. We know that's just not true.
And Steve Moore, there's always, as Rand Paul said this, and you're a pal of Rand Paul's too. Rand Paul said this last night, there's always a dozen or 15 Republicans that go along with these bills for no good reason. They just go along with them. And it's part of the, look, I don't really feel like railing against Mitch McConnell. I think he's, you know, done some great work down through the years, but not recently. I think we need a new leader, fresh blood. Mm-hmm. But whatever. The point is the GOP should stop this and institute controls. The other point is the southern border.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
It is more important to Americans right now than the Ukrainian border. I mean, that's just a fact of life. And Trump is running on that, and Biden is running against that.
Well, there's a lot there. I would say a couple things. One is that in addition to what you and Liz were talking about in terms of the oversight, why can't we pay for these things? I mean, come on. We've got the most obese budget right now. Right. Biden's added $6 trillion, and they can't find $50 to $60 billion to cut? Come on. What is this?
No pay for everything's.
There's no pay for it whatsoever. It's pathetic.
That's an important point.
Look, a Congressional Budget Office report came out. As you know, it comes out every January.
Next segment. Don't do it. I got it for the next segment.
Okay.
Absolutely. Very important point. No. Yeah. Very important point. Didn't get the coverage because of the her report, but it's very important in what it says about the future. I like your point about the pay fors, though. We've lost the whole idea. Now, people in the House still have pay fors. They talk about that. But the senators are just hopeless. What a gang. Anyway, quick break. Liz Peek, Fox News contributor, and Steve Moore, Committee to Unleash Prosperity, FreedomWorks, coming up right after this show on most of these same stations. Didn't mean to cut you off, Steve Moore, buddy, but I wanted to get to this CBO report because it was overshadowed to some extent by the Robert Hur report controversy. But these numbers are outrageous. This is Joe Biden's baseline here. And the CBO did us a favor with these 50-year averages, which, by the way, covers my whole career, 74 to 23. I love this. I came to the New York Fed from Princeton in 1973, so I understand this 50-year average. But so as a share of GDP, which is a useful way of looking at it, spending runs from 21% to 24%. The budget deficit, 3.7 to 6.4% of GDP, okay? 3.7 is bad enough. 6.4 is an outrage. And debt held by the public, this is the killer. Debt held by the public from 48% of GDP to 116% of GDP. And it is not a revenue problem because revenues, maybe they're not scored right because you don't know about the Trump tax cuts. But basically, revenues are holding steady at slightly higher than 17% GDP. Now, Steve Moore, the other thing I'll mention is the growth rate in here is just slightly less than 2% for the next 10 years. So we're still stagnant. We're growing the budget. We're spending, borrowing like crazy. And that means regulating like crazy, too. I mean, this is going to stop the economy dead in its tracks.
So we did a little item in our hotline this week where I looked at the average deficit under Trump versus the average deficit under Biden. And I took out the two COVID years. I took out 2020 and 2021 because those were an extraordinary event. And so, and look, Donald Trump, I love the guy, but he was not a big fiscal conservative. Right. We ran deficits of about $750 billion a year mm-hmm. under Trump. That's not a good record.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know how big the number is for the first 3 years of Biden? $1.5 trillion yeah. a year.
Yeah.
I mean, and for him to go around saying, oh, it's the Republican tax cuts, I did one other analysis. I looked at what was the CBO projecting, you know, for the debt and deficit when Trump left office versus what it is today. Biden has added, are you ready for this? $6 trillion above the amount we were already borrowing. This is the most financially reckless president ever.
Mm. Except for Michelle Obama. But I mean, the other part of this is the impact on economic growth.
Yes.
You cannot have a growing government like this, which absorbs money from the private right. sector. And as Laffer always says, when you see these big spending numbers, remember, these programs come with strings, regulatory strings attached. So this is a collectivist takeover of the private sector, and it's growing like Topsy.
And Larry, nothing could back that up more than something else that Steve has written about recently, which is the green agenda and the fact that you're blowing, if you'll excuse the expression, hundreds of billions of dollars on stuff that is unproductive, is making people buy cars they don't want. And so we have to keep paying more for them to buy those cars because they increasingly don't want them. So, you know, it's not just a theoretical, not productive spending. We can see it. We can see it in this green subsidies and all the money that they're spending on things that really aren't going to pan out well.
You know,
Larry, did you see the thing about how much Ford lost for every EV they sold?
Yeah.
They lost $60,000 for every car that they.
By the way,
unbelievable.
GM.
They want it to keep going. That's an incredible thing.
GM worse. Just saying, GM worse. But at least the CBO reestimated the misnamed Inflation Reduction Act because remember that Penn Wharton estimate of over $1 trillion is going to be a lot closer to the truth because there's no ceilings or lids on either the time or the volume of credit. Now, that has to be taken out. And, Steve, I was talking to Kevin Hassett earlier in the show about this. Something Trump's saying, and Russ Vogt is on this, and I'm for it. Trump's got to push for a return to budget impoundment authority.
I love that. Yeah, I love it.
I think, you know, that's a kind of day one thing that needs to be done before you battle out all the appropriation stuff, which is going to be hard. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to extend the tax cuts.
You know who used impoundment power?
Yes,
very regularly.
Yes,
Franklin Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln, Harry Truman. Used it to control spending.
Right, that crowd. By the way, it was Richard Nixon who tried, and then Watergate.
And Nixon too, yeah.
Watergate knocked him out, and they passed the Budget Reform Act of 1974, which was a disaster. Reagan tried impoundment. We did rescissions, but it wasn't good enough because rescissions require congressional votes. Okay, I want to just take stuff out. That's all. Just say.
And I think Trump has legitimacy on this, or credibility, I should say. I think that's a very good thing for him to run on.
Yeah.
Americans who work in private enterprise routinely have their bosses coming along saying, okay, we're going to cut costs. Mm-hmm. We're going to cut costs by 5%. That idea never seems to occur to the government, and yet it should. And so, you know, I actually think this is true. I think right now we're at a point where people would welcome that assertion of power and that kind of claim, because going back to your point, when you are spending $4 trillion, are you serious? We can't find $60 billion. I totally agree with you, Steve. It's ludicrous to think that budget is super tight, that airtight, you know, and there's no holes in it. It's not true.
Just start impounding from day one, and let Congress yell. Yeah. Let everybody yell. Exactly. Let the whole town yell. Go ahead. It'll be fine. Because he wants to drain the swamp anyway. Let him yell. And meanwhile, while they're yelling, the budget authorities inside the administration can start cutting. You know what I mean? And if they want to give it back later, let's talk. I mean, I really love this. It sets up so beautifully for Trump, you know, who will just drive people crazy, which is why we love him. Okay. I got to get out of here. Liz Peek, thank you very much.
We'll thank you.
Plug you into the Michelle Obama campaign. And Steve Morris, more money coming up after this show on most of these same stations. I'm Kudlow. We'll be here next weekend. Thanks, everybody.